Welcome to the Battle Ready Sermon Podcast with Captain Rob Westwood Payne.
So at the beginning of the meeting, we thought about decisions that we might need to make in our lives. Some important ones, some perhaps not so important. Certainly on those that came on feedback, we didn't seem to get much beyond what we had for breakfast. And making that kind of decision. But perhaps in your group, you talked about perhaps more difficult decisions that you've had to make recently. But we have life-changing decisions that we have to make in our lives. We have to decide which GCSEs we're going to take these days, what career we're going to have, who we're going to marry, who our friends are going to be, where we're going to live, all sorts of different things, where we're going to worship even. So we have some decisions to make in our lives. There are some decisions that we have to make in our lives that can make us feel unhappy, even though we know that they are the right decisions to make. So as a leader, I think about those times when I get to a stage in something that's happening where I know I have to have a difficult conversation with someone. Now, I don't particularly like conflict. There are some people who are born fighters and they love to take on a conflict. I'm not one of those people. And so it's difficult for me to say, I'm going to have to go and have that hard conversation. And so it can make me feel unhappy in a way. But because I know it's the right decision to take, I have to go and have that hard conversation. I've asked Jonty to help me this morning. Where are you, Jonty? Here he is. I can hear him coming through the door. Well done, Jonty. Thank you for your kind volunteering. Come and stand in front of me so that we can all see you. What is Jonty dressed as this morning? A tennis player. Well done, Christine. No, maybe not. Football player, possibly. That wasn't quite what I'm looking for. A football supporter, yeah. Okay, a football fan. How do you know that Jonty is a football fan? By what he's wearing. So he's got the right gear on to be a football fan. His kit, this lovely kit here, which matches the Champions League finalists winners last night, tells us... Identifies him with his team, which is, you could tell us, Jonty, even though your badge does.
Woodley United.
Woodley United. Anybody else support Woodley United? Yes, Simon does, yes. Good. I'm glad to hear that. Good. Now, I'm asking you this next question because as a Norwich City supporter, I've forgotten the answer. But what does a football fan do when their team scores a goal?
I don't know much.
You don't know much? I know. We'll come on to that. I'm saving that one. So what do they do when they score a goal? Cheer. Yeah? What else? Put their scarves over their heads. Yeah, maybe. Or put their tops over their heads. Yeah, all sorts of different things. They make lots of noise. They might jump up and down. I don't know if you've ever been in a football crowd when their team scores. You kind of jump up. In the old days, you used to be able to surge forward. It's a bit more difficult with the seats these days. But definitely singing or shouting. Now, this next question I'm a bit concerned about, but I'm going to do it. Jonty, do you know any football chants? And before you say anything, do you know any clean football chants that you can share on a Sunday morning in worship?
I haven't been to a game in so long.
Okay, that's good. Barmy Army, yes, a lot of those. We could do that in the Salvation Army as well, couldn't we? Yeah. Okay, so lots of chants that there could well be. Barmy Army is one of them, and there's all sorts of other things that you might be able to remember. Now, if you're a really keen football fan, not only might you cheer when your team scores a goal, not only may you wear the kit to show that you identify with that team, but what else might you do as a keen football fan to show that you follow the team? Go to their games, yes. So if you're quite keen, you might go to all the home matches. If you're really keen, you might go to the away matches as well. Yeah, maybe. What else? Say again. Get into fights with your opponents. That wasn't quite what I was looking for, but I guess that does happen. Sue? Get a tattoo. Oh, okay. We are getting really keen now. Yes, you could get a tattoo. Is that? Are you speaking from experience, Sue? Buy the kit. Yeah, you might subscribe to the magazine if they do that these days. Lots of stuff's online, so I subscribe online to Norwich City Canaries TV or whatever it is. Tell other people about them. Yeah, tell them how wonderful they are. That might be a problem depending on what team it is. You might collect programs. You might get, I think they still do them, like the Panini stickers. That's what I used to do when I was growing up to show that I supported a team. And I don't know if Jonty does this, but when you play, do you pretend sometimes that you're, you know, one of your football heroes? Who would your football hero be?
Messi.
Yeah, so do you pretend to be Messi when you play?
I play on the complete opposite side.
Oh, okay, yeah, so that's a bit difficult, yeah?
If we were on the same pitch, I would be defending against him.
Oh, okay, fair enough. All right, so, well, you can pretend that you're defending against Messi, that's good. Yeah, so you might pretend to be one of your heroes when you're playing. Maybe you copy their goal celebration. I don't know, do you copy their goal celebrations? You don't score, okay, fair enough. But if you did, then you might do that. Now, here's a question. And again, you might not know the answer to this, but how does a football fan behave when they're in a crowd from the other team on the other side? Now, I have some experience in this at the risk of never being allowed into Carrow Road again. One season, which I think was a promotion season, we happened to be in Norwich on the last game, last home game of the season. So we knew that the team were going to do the circuit of the stadium afterwards and all of that sort of thing. And so we were desperate to get to the game. You couldn't get a home ticket for love nor money, but Preston North End, who we were playing, didn't send many fans at all. And so there were spare seats in the away end. And so we managed to sneak into the away end. So I can tell you what happens when you're sitting in on the other side and in a crowd of the other people. Preston North End scored first. So we had to stand and clap Preston North End for scoring against the team that we support, just to keep up pretenses. Then a little bit later on, Norwich equalised and we had to sit on our hands whilst the home fans, who were only just three or four seats over that way, we're all celebrating. And unfortunately, some of those home fans recognised us from away games that we used to go to, so they were winking at us for the rest of the game once they recognised us. Anyway, at the end of the game finished and the team got ready to do the circuit of the pitch as it was the last home game of the season. And we went down to the front of the stand to go and watch them do that. And all the Preston fans, all kind of 200 of them, I think, were all piling out of the exit. But as we turned round, there were lots of other people who were coming down to the front of the stand, stripping off their hoodies and their jumpers and everything else, with Norwich kits underneath. So we weren't the only ones who were in the away end that particular time. But we had to keep quiet and pretend that we were Preston North End fans on those days. And back in the days when I used to take clients to football matches, I remember sitting in the away end at Wolves, the away end at Stoke. No, not the home end at Wolves and the home end at Stoke, and not joining in with the Norwich supporters whenever we scored a goal or anything else. But Jesus tells us that we shouldn't be afraid, that we shouldn't sit on our hands when we're asked to follow him. So in verse 26 of Matthew 10 that we watched a few moments ago, he says, "Don't be afraid of those who threaten you, for the time is coming when everything that is covered will be revealed and all that is secret will be made known to all." It could be that if you find yourself at a football match in the crowd, even in your own crowd, circumstances may take place which means that you feel unsafe. I remember coming out of a game at Sheffield United, which was particularly contentious. And as we were filing out of the stadium, there were supporters around us who were saying, "I think we just need to keep our heads down and get out of here as quickly as possible." We felt unsafe. And indeed, we watched somebody be arrested for having a go at the Norwich fans by a policeman on his horse, which was interesting to watch. So sometimes we might not feel safe as football fans, but living for Jesus is much more serious than being a football fan. And so Jesus goes on to say, "Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Now that sounds like hard words, and it's a hard decision to make. But fortunately, Jesus goes on to say that we can be brave because we know that God loves us so much that he even knows the individual hairs on our head. "The very hairs on your head," Jesus said, "are all numbered." Now, for someone like me, that may not seem like much of a miracle, but for those of you with more hair, that's a miracle that God knows every hair on every human being, and he knows and numbers them all. That's a miracle. So we know because God loves us, we are able to stand up and be counted. We can let people know what we believe, even if our Christian views are sometimes not popular. If we go out and we're wearing our football colours, then we're standing up and people will know that we are a fan of that particular football team. Christians should stand and be counted for Jesus as well. Now, I think this can be fairly easy for salvationists in particular because we have our own kit. We have our own colours. We can stand up and be counted for Jesus in uniform, whether that's a white shirt or a polo T-shirt with a shield on it or whatever form it takes. We can stand up and be counted as salvationists by wearing our colours. But more importantly than that, we can be open about our faith and share Jesus with others wherever we are. So if we're going to follow Jesus, we need to be ready to stand up for him. Now, we said that football fans know the songs and the chants that go with their particular football team, and that declares publicly the team that they support. If you're in a Reading kit and you're singing Barmy Army, then it's probable that you're supporting Reading, I would imagine. One of the oldest chants ever in football in the world, which is still sung today, I'm not going to sing it, goes like this. See if you can guess which football team it belongs to. "Kick it off, throw it in, have a little scrimmage, keep it low, splendid rush, bravo, win or die, on the ball, City."
Stoke.
No, never mind the danger. Now's your chance. Hurrah, we've scored a goal. That's Norwich City's chant. And it's been in use since about 1902, and it's one of the oldest in the world. And Jesus says that if we've decided to follow him, then we need to shout out or declare that we are his followers. In 32 and 33, Jesus says, "Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven." Jesus says, if we shout out for him, if we sing his chants and say that we follow him, then he will shout up for us before God. But if we choose to keep quiet, then Jesus says he will reject us before God. A football fan will always shout out for his team, his or her team, because they love them and they're committed to them. The question for us today is, do we respond to Jesus in the same way? So we know that Jonty's a football fan because he's wearing the kit. He's got the uniform. We know that a real football fan is obsessed by their team. They get the kit, they do the subscription, they get the season ticket, they buy the programs, they travel and all sorts of things. But when Jesus speaks about following him, he says this: "If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it." The essence of how people know whether we are Jesus followers or not is whether we are imitating Jesus, whether we are living Christ-like, holy lives. We have to choose his way above all others, to choose between worldly joys and Jesus, and to take up our cross and to follow him. There will be times, even in this country, when our faith will be challenged. And we have a decision to make. Will we shout up or will we keep quiet? Will we speak up for Jesus and his values or will we choose to be silent? Will we follow him by imitating Jesus and living his way, or will we choose what we think the world thinks is acceptable? God says he cares for us. Jesus says he will speak us up for us if we speak up for him. And if we follow Jesus as enthusiastically as a football fan follows their football team, then the promise is that we will find the abundant and eternal life that God longs to give us. I don't know if you've ever come across any of these armchair football fans. The ones that don't stand up for their team. The ones that don't know the songs. The ones that don't speak up for their team. The ones that don't wear the kit. If you come across anyone like that, you wouldn't think they were much of a football fan, would you? So the challenge for us this morning is that do the people that we know we are a Christian? Do they know that we are followers of Jesus? Do they see us wearing the kit, whether we're physically wearing the kit or whether we wear the kit of the armour of God and leading lives in a Christ-like holy way? Do they know that we stand up for Jesus and his values when they're tested by the world? Do they know that we follow Jesus? We come to the conclusion this morning that Jesus is indeed worth it. That was the question that we posed ourselves at the beginning of the meeting. He is worth standing up for. He is worth shouting out for. He is worth following. And so we can make that decision to follow him today. Maybe for the first time, we make that decision to follow Jesus. Or if we've been following him for many years, maybe it's a case of determining to follow him again today. At the beginning of each football season, particularly if you're a Norwich fan, you have to choose whether you're going to follow them again in this coming season, despite all the pain and the hurt. And Reading fans will understand this as well, won't they, Jonty? Yeah.
We have the worst than you've got.
Exactly, yes, there we go, you see. So we have to choose, and we have to do the same with Jesus. Every day we have to choose whether we're going to follow him or not. It's a choice we make every day. To publicly acknowledge and to follow Jesus and to adopt his way of living. Would you like to say thank you to Jonty for helping me this morning? Thank you, Jonty. And as our response this morning, we are going to say that we are going to choose to make that choice. That we are going to make the hard choice to follow Jesus. That we are going to make the hard choice to shout up for him and to stand for his values. John Gowans writes these beautiful words that we can make as our own promise this morning. If crosses come, if it should cost me dearly to be the servant of my servant Lord, if darkness falls around the path of duty and men despise the Saviour I've adored, if doors should close, then other doors will open. The word of God can never be contained. His love cannot be finally frustrated by narrow minds or prison bars restrained. If tears should fall, if I am called to suffer, if all I love men should deface, defame, I'll not deny the one that I have followed, nor be ashamed to bear my master's name. And echoing the words of Jesus in Matthew 10, I'll not turn back whatever it may cost. I'm called to live, to love and save the lost. I'll not turn back whatever it may cost. I'm called to live, to love and save the lost. Will you make that your prayer this morning? You might want to come and use the place of prayer as you do so, but let's sing these three verses through.
If you would like to subscribe to Battle Ready Sermons wherever you choose to listen to podcasts, or if you'd like to receive them direct to your inbox, head to www.equippinghispeople.com/sermons and follow the instructions.